that I live, oh, I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning, and when I lay my head to rest, oh, I am blessed. Oh, I am blessed. Oh, I am blessed.
Well, we're blessed, and I'm thankful. You know, if you can be blessed in a lot of ways, but if you're blessed by God, then you're especially blessed. And I'm thankful that we are learning to get more acquainted with God and to recognize what God is doing and to get closer to Him. And this world we're living in, that a lot of things you can do and get involved in. But I'm glad that I chose to stay with God and keep my hands in His hands, because something you don't know until after a while. Something you take time. You know, you'd like to say that, you know, people say all the time, this is the best thing going, or this is the best car going. But sometimes you can, if you hadn't really, you know, you can't experience everything in life, but it does help to have some experience with things. And especially with the Lord. That's what I'm finding out, is that when you get some experiences with God, then no matter what, you don't have to worry about what everybody's saying. You don't have to get shook up about things, because when you know for yourself, you know, you don't have to wait and find out. Just ask around. But you know, when God says something, when He give you something in your life that you know has helped you, then you don't have to worry about that. You don't have to wonder about it. Then you know for yourself. You know, I used to, when I first got started in life and went to the military and got out, you know, I'd buy a car and I didn't know what kind of oil to use, and I'd ask all these people, and everyone would give me a different answer. One said use Pennzoil. This guy said use Quaker Steak. This guy said use this. And I found out, you know, I said, this is my car, so I can go with Penn State. I can go with Quaker State. But I'm the guy going to have to make this decision, what I'm going to use. So I had to make a decision what kind of oil I was going to use in my car. And I could tell you what I used. But anyway, but I had to make that decision. You know, I found out that everybody got an opinion. Everybody's going to tell you something. But you got to do for yourself. You know, you got to find out for yourself. And I found this to be serving God, that, you know, we have to get our own experiences with God. I mean, I appreciate everything people tell me about God, and a lot of it has helped me. But I got to know for myself. You know, everybody will know for themselves. Like this scripture Brother Durham was giving us this morning about God's kingdom. He said that one of these days you don't have to ask, you know, do you know the Lord? Everybody's going to know Him. In God's final kingdom, his eternal kingdom, you know, from the least to the greatest. You know, you don't have to go around and ask, do you know God? But in this day we're living in, you might could ask that question, do you know God? But we are working toward a project and a plan, God's plan, actually, to where we're going to know God. I'll have to know God. It's going to be required that I know God. You know, there's no if and ends about it. I mean, I got to know Him for myself and not another, you know. So I'm thankful today that we're in a place that encourages us to reach out to God. And we're still reaching out to God. Sometime I think, man, this has been a pretty good project. We got Brother and Sister Morris here that's visiting with us. They were in this church, I can't remember how many years ago it was. Brother Tucker was living. And how many? 37 years ago. Isn't that something? Well, we got to meet them, and they're good people. And Brother Morris, we still trying to serve God. We're learning that this project. I've heard people talk like it may be almost like overnight. My wife came here, 1975 somewhere. But anyway, I remember Brother McGowan was in charge of service that night, and she just kept asking him all these questions. I was here that time. But anyway, and he never really had time to answer her questions. She was asking him, you know, so fast. You know, she didn't wait for an answer. I'll put it that way. You know, she was just asking. And and she was saying, and, you know, he was trying to help her, trying to get, answer her question, but she was asking so fast. But she was, when he was finally, you know, she not only talked to him, but she finally got to talk to Brother Tucker. And she found out some of the things that were being taught and some of the requirements that he felt like God was requiring of us, his people. And she felt like, well, you know, what's the holdup? Let's do it. You know, let's, well, you know, why it's going to take? It's not going to take us that long to do this. How long you been here? anyway, we know that God, you know, I mean, it's, you know, when we look at things, sometimes it looked like it just, you know, simple, you know, to do. You know, we can just do this. He said, well, it took, Brother Tucker's telling, you know, it took Stephen 3.5 years, you know. Anyway, he used that as an example. But anyway, this is a project that we just have to give our life to. And that's what I'm finding is that you invest your time, your life to God. You know, you don't have to fret about the time. Matter of fact, you don't have to fret about anything. You know, in Psalms it says, fret not because of evildoers. You know, even the people out here doing wrong, going the wrong way, and that are not even trying to serve God. You know, we're not to fret about those people. Actually, you know, we pray for them. We're concerned, but we are to ourselves is to get so close to God, and that's what I'm finding. It's an endeavor to get close to God. I that's what Brother Duren was telling us this morning in Bible study. You know, we our relationship to God is so important that if we can get closer to Him, the time he was talking about, the time of the winter has passed, and God get close to His people. You know, this, you know, that's been a time frame that when you look at the history of religion, history of the church, that was a time frame when you couldn't approach God like we have we're blessed to be able to do today. You know, that was a time when you couldn't even have access to a Bible. Believe that if you want. You know, you didn't even have access. You couldn't even get hold to a Bible. But now we can get a Bible, you know, anywhere. You know, we got access to it. And I remember Brother Leninger was talking about the advances in technology in this country. You know, he said when the printing press was invented, the first thing they printed was the Bible, and all these other advances in technology started happening about the same time. And you know, of course, man has taken off with it like it was done for their benefit. But he was saying this was done for God's benefit, to advance the church, the gospel. This was done, you know, all these other inventions that has come along with along after the printing press, it's for the advancement of the gospel. That's what it's all about. You know, God allowed these things to happen, to have all these things at our fingertips, conveniences, technology and communication or whatever it may be, then it's for the advancement of the gospel. You know, with man just taking advantage of it. You know, God let them, you know, benefit, let them enjoy some of these things, but it's really for God's use and for the people of God. And I'm just thankful to be in a place that recognize, you know, what God is doing and what his plans are. You know, it's not my plans, it's his plan. And sometimes I might get a little impatient and not thinking that it ought to happen sooner or whatever, but it's God's plan. And I want to align myself with God and his plan. You know, if it's not, you know, we heard men say that, you know, that message that they preached it to, it tapered off, you know, that they was going to be in part. You know, they made it happen in a way that it was going to be in their lifetime. I put it that way. But, you know, it may not be in my lifetime. You know, I appreciate Brother Leninger so much, you know, what God gave him to, you know, let us know if we don't see the end of it in this, as we live this day, you know, we will we live in a justified life with God. We don't have to worry about the time frame so much. You know, we like to understand it, but I mean, as far as worry, am I going to live long enough to see all this happen? Yes, you know, just get close to God. You know, that's what our encouragement is, to get close to God. You don't have to, you know, don't worry about when you go to sleep or when you leave this world. Just get close to God. God's going to take care of his people. You know, he'll see that you'll be a part of what he's doing. You just give him your life. You know, that's what we're trying to do, is give God our life. And when we do that, the time frame don't matter. You know, we're going to be with God wherever he is. You know, wherever his people are. You know, we're going to be with him. You know, I might go to sleep for a while before it's over with. But I want to be close to him. So I'm thankful today that we're in his house. And we're here to serve God. I mentioned Brother and Sister Morris being here. Good to have them back after 37 years. But anyway, good to have them today. And we got a Reverend Lewis Marshall and his mother. They're from Mesa, Arizona, and they moved here in the city to have them. Danita Morrison. Good to have her today. All right. So anyway, Sister Wilkins, God bless Sister Wilkins. She's here with us today. And Wesley Scott, good to have you today. Praise the Lord. Brother Weininger. Oh, bless you, Brother Weininger. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Feel the Spirit of God here today. Glad that he made it. He said he almost didn't make it. But he's here. God bless him. Praise the Lord. God is good to us, and I'm thankful to be in God's house. Part of the Caribbean islands. You never know. God's working. Brother Smith gave us an update a little bit on Brother Green's cousin out in Los Angeles, California yesterday, and he was letting us know that that he's really getting a hold to this real. It's early time for him, but anyway, he's getting a hold to it, and we need to be thinking that missionary work is on in blooming. And, who knows where all this is going to lead to. So anyway, let's be missionary minded and work with God as he worked with his people. All right. I don't know. We need to pray, don't we? We'll definitely, I'm sure Sister Wilkins heard people say that they prayed for her while she's there. She's here today to hear that you hear your prayers. Brother Weininger, pray for him. What other prayer? Brother Dodson, remember Brother Dodson prayed for him. He's in Missouri. Business customer. Okay. All right. I know the other requests. I mean, other needs. Prayer list up there, and then think of Brother Smith's mother, Grandma Smith. Pray for her. Sister Rattler, your family. Okay, remember that need. Okay, Ray and Susan Weaver, and Brother Wallace, Steve Wallace. Remember that. Sister Yvonne's brother. Pray for him. He's home with me. He's not home. Still in the hospital. Okay, remember, Leslie
Spencer.
Leslie Spencer. Pray for him. Sister Wilkins. Your son, Phil. Remember, Sister Wilkins' son. All right.
Remember, Brother Tally, the work in the Dominican Republic, and also you mentioned Brother Pilsen, but Brother Green is out there in Los Angeles, and they're wanting me to fly out as soon as I can, so help me to pray. I've got so much on my itinerary, I don't know how I'd work it in, but anyway, let's keep that in prayer, and then let's keep remembering Brother Pelt's assembly. His passing, and really didn't have a man there to put in, and so that assembly is going to need the Lord's help, and so let's keep him in our prayers. Also, Brother David Angelo, let's keep praying for him.
Spencer Bowles.
Mr. Karen's sick today, and Spencer both.
Remember them, pray for him. All right, Sister Ann. Granddaughter, okay. All right. Remember that need today. Sister Oaks. All right, remember. Who needs? Okay. All right, let's stand and take these needs to the Lord. Father in heaven. Lord, you're so good. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be your name. Look to you, Lord. I want that you have for your mercy. Lord, you have these needs. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you. Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you.
Good to be in church today. Adding to the church is the Lord's business. We can't vote you in. We can't vote you out. God brings you and adds you to the church, then you're our brother and our sister. We have to accept that. And I feel like God's put it in our hearts to love His God's people. I appreciate each one that's here. We do have Brother Marshall as a minister. Brother Marshall, we appreciate having you here. If you'd like to say something, we sure make room for you to say a word. If you then bring you a mic, if you want to address the people of God, we always try to honor the ministry. I'll get it on.
You know, the diehard battery never run dry. And beloved, we got a right to praise God this morning. I said we got a right.
That's right.
To praise the Lord, Pastor. Today we have a right. I woke up with shouting in my feet and clapping in my hand. Because somebody didn't get up this morning. But some kind of way God chose us and allowed us one more time to be a witness to somebody that's laid down in a nursing home, somebody that's stricken this morning and couldn't come out. But God allowed us one more time. And I'm excited this morning. I said I'm excited.
Yes, amen.
About serving the Lord. And we have a right, beloved, to serve God. I said we have a right, Pastor.
That's right.
To serve Him this morning. I'm glad to be saved this morning. I said I'm glad to be saved. I'm excited because I got an 84-year-old mother sitting right beside me. After 84 years, she's still here, Pastor. And I'm excited about it.
Good.
And I got a right to shout right now. I said, I feel like shouting right now. And if you mess with me, I'll shout right now. I just thank God this morning, beloved. I thank God because it was Him that woke me up and started me on my way. I said it was Him that woke me up and started me on my way. And we're yet learning to lean on Him and trust in Him. I'm not going to take a lot of time, but I'm just an excited soldier for the Lord. We're on our way to hearing a dynamic message because we know what God have given the man of God to give us today. And it wasn't by accident that we are all here today. It was predestined, Pastor, for us to be here. And I'm finna sit down, but I just want you to know we are yet learning to lean. As I sit down, I just want to say just a verse or two of this. Learning to lean. I am learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Well, I need more power never knew. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Thank you so
Hallelujah.
Much. We honor you, Pastor, today, and all of the clergy that's whipped you, and certainly this whole ecclesiac that's here today. We're excited about being in one more time of worship, and certainly excited about God choosing this church for us to worship in today. We thank God for you. You all pray for me and my mother. We're settling here in Little Rock from Mesa, Arizona. And we hadn't been here a long time. And we're excited about being here and enjoying the cold weather. But we don't have cold weather. But we're excited about being here. We love you. We love you, Pastor. And thank you for this gracious opportunity. Certainly, we hope to come back again and be in another worship service. Thank you so very much.
All right. Praise God. Thank you for those words. All right. Any of the other visitors would like to say something? We'll make room for you.
I'm so happy to be here, and I want to thank everybody. And I want to thank you mostly for your prayers. That's the reason I'm here, because you pray for me. And I just want to thank everyone for what they've done for me.
Praise God, Sister Wilkins. We're glad you're here. How old are you now, Sister Wilkins? 87. Been a faithful saint here in the church, but she's been out several services now with her health, so we're sort of glad to have her here today. It's a blessing. Yes. Yes.
I give an honor to
Sister Morris,
the pastor, the other clergy, and saints. I'm delighted to be here today.
Good.
We came here in 1976 after some conflicts in Jamaica at the time, and you all were so great to us. In fact, the Tallies allowed us to stay with them until we got into our home. And we worshiped with you for a long while during that time, and then after that I was in the military and called about, and then working as a nurse a lot of times, having to work on the weekends, we stopped attending on a regular basis, not just this church, but anywhere. But we feel at home when we are here and when we're in the house of worship. And earlier this summer in Conway, just by chance, Sister Tally hollered at me. And she was having lunch. They were having lunch at the same place I was. She remembered me, but I didn't immediately recognize her because she wasn't in Little Rock, and we were out of place, both of us. But anyway, she asked me to come back.
Nobody talks that fast.
And I told her, I promised I would, and I'm just, I'm blessed by everything that I've heard, and we thank you again. You know, you all done something that a lot of churches don't do, and I thank you for that. You all continue to pray for us. Thank you.
All right. Praise God. All right. Well, I appreciate the men's breakfast that we had yesterday morning, and the good discussion that we had on elders, and appreciate the brethren in this church that are strength and unity that God's working in us, and the gifts that are in this church. There's some great men in this church, and I appreciate their ministry and their strength. And I'm just glad here today to, I'm like Brother Marshall, I'm glad that I'm a part of the family of God. How many people is it in the world? 16 trillion, I mean, billion. How many? 7.5 billion. And God chose you and me out of 7.5 billion people. God somehow reached down and touched your life and my life and said, you can go. Hallelujah. Somehow you were able to respond to that. And you're still here today. That's the key is don't lose faith and keep on coming. And He'll keep on blessing you. He'll keep on helping you. We're no doubt living, we're also blessed to be living in the greatest country, I believe, in the world. God chose, America's not great because it's America. It's not great. You're not, and I'm not anybody special. In other words, because the kingdom of heaven, I'm part of it, doesn't make me greater than anybody else. It just makes me more blessed. Jesus told that to Mary. He said, you're blessed among them. You know, that's a picture of the church. It's a picture of the church. that God blessed her to His Son into this world. Well, He blessed the New Testament church to bring His Son into this world. When He came back on the day of Pentecost and manifested Himself in the end of the Jewish world, our about 45 years, a generation of time that God manifested Himself in a people and harvested a 2,000-year world, the Jews. And at the same time, he gave the gospel to the Gentiles. After He finished that harvest, there was a planting taking place in the Gentile world for another 2,000-year period of time that it would take God to get the Gentiles in the same condition, same place, that He could work the same harvest. You look in the book of Revelations in the 14th chapter, John said, I saw one sitting on a cloud like unto the Son of Man. Said he had a sickle in his hand, and he heard a voice out of the temple that said, thrust in your sickle. Said, for the harvest, the earth is ripe, and the harvest is ready. There's a harvest coming in the end of this world. And if you get your eyes on natural things, you'll miss what God's doing. It takes God. He said that several times, but particularly in the book of Revelation, John said, blessed are they that hear the words of this prophecy. And your eyes that see, God has to touch you to see what He's doing, and you've got to have ears to hear. Sometimes I worry about that. Because I have recognized over the years the saints in the church that have ears to hear and eyes to see, that is to have a vision. You know, you've got to have a vision for what God's doing today. It's easy to see what God did in the New Testament, but you've got to have a vision for what God is doing today. Got to have some understanding. Proverbs, the 24th chapter, says, by wisdom is a house builded, and by knowledge is its chambers filled with great riches, or by understanding is it established. It takes understanding to be established. And knowledge is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of understanding. And you have to desire not only just to know that God is and that He's a rewarder, but you have to have a desire to know Him. And to have an ear to hear. Jesus said that. He said, blessed are they that hear these sayings of mine and what? Doeth them. It's not just to hear, but you got to get the doing of the Word of God. It's got to get in your members. And we're living in a critical time, yet it's a blessed time. I said America was the greatest nation in the world, and the reason I believe it is because it's the nation that God chose to restore His church and to plant His gospel. And of course, it's gone out from this nation. The sad thing is, no doubt, God will have to judge this nation because it's moving rapidly away from God. But it's still, there's still a church here. There's still a people of God here. And even though the winds are blowing today, look in the 7th chapter of the book of Revelations. I want to say something about the winds that are blowing. One of the reasons is because of this war that's mounting up over in Israel. Bible talks about the four winds that are being held back. I thank God for that today. Let me tell you something. If it wasn't for God's people, He'd destroy this world. There wouldn't be any reason for God to continue what He's doing. But it's the people of God and the purpose and plan of God that is holding this world together. Our God's hand is not came against it in judgment. I realize that's part of my ministry is to talk on judgment. I don't necessarily like it, but it's necessary to not just know about God's mercy, not just to know about His saving grace, but to also understand that God is a God of judgment. But He balances judgment with mercy. Thank God for that. Did you know you can store up mercy? Yes, you can. And God's mercy, it'll go further than what man's mercy ever thought about going. If it didn't, I wouldn't be here today. Brother Morris, God would have snuffed me out a long time ago, except for His mercy. There's been times I thought, God, why in the world have You put up with me? You know, I just keep making, I've made mistakes. And at times I felt like, I was ashamed to ask God one more time to forgive me. Brother Doug York wrote a song kind of like that. I can't really remember how it goes, but I remember the gist of it. How's it go? One of the songs. Yeah, what does it say right there? I guess I what? My will again today. His mercy, it just endureth forever. Forever how long it takes until you run out. You can run out of God's mercy. You can use it all up. The thing about God is that, He's a. If there's a smoking flax, He'll fan it. If there's a broken reed, He'll try to heal it. And so, He's a marvelous God and Savior. He's a Redeemer. He is the Redeemer today. And so here in the seventh chapter of the book of Revelation, it said, John said, "And after these things," verse 1, "I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree." The earth there is religion, and the sea is the world. It's humanity out here. God is holding back the winds, nor on any tree. That's God's people, your trees. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, "Hurt not the earth, nor the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads." So the four winds, those are, one of them is civil powers. I don't know if you can feel the wind of civil power blowing today, but you should be able to feel it, because these governmental powers are blowing across this world, blowing some of them against one another. And then there's military winds that are blowing today. The Hamas and Israel's winds of military powers are blowing right now. They're finding out there's even some new developments in weapons that they didn't know one another had. Israel bombed, sent off new bombs this morning, I think around 1 o'clock or so. And there's war is mounting up. And then there is also financial winds. Oh, thank God we don't have any bombs. Aren't you glad you didn't wake up to bombs this morning in your neighborhood and in our nation? That there are nations that are undergoing that, and we may not be exempt altogether in the future, but this has been a great nation. We've been a blessed people to be in this nation, and these military winds that are blowing, that are shaking this world, it doesn't seem like we can get one thing settled. If something else crops up somewhere else, we don't get one war stopped before another war starts. Yet there's a God in heaven, there's an angel in heaven, an archangel, his name is Jesus. And he's holding back the four winds today. There's another wind. It's a religious wind. You even have to be careful about that. Brother Talley said today, you got to know for yourself. You've got to know him. Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice, and another they will not follow." I want to know the voice of God today. There's a lot of voices out here. A lot of religious voices out here, but I want to know the voice of Jesus Christ. There's a lot of doctrinal issues that are in religion. They can't all be right. God didn't set this in array where all of these divisions are, but that's the work of man. That's why we're afraid to put out there on that sign any certain name. We're just saying, We're trying to be the people of God, and we're relying on him to help us to know the truth. Because he said, "You shall know the truth, and it shall make you free." And so the winds are blowing, but it's for a purpose that they're being held back. One of the things I make mention here is at some point, the indication here is that they're going to be let go. It's just until. They're being held back until I seal my servants in their foreheads. And then he gives 12,000 and 12 tribes of Israel, but that's a symbolic. That's a symbolic number there and a symbolic group, because the natural Israel, this is New Testament writing, and natural Israel was God finished that covenant, and the covenant with Zion today, or with Jerusalem, New Jerusalem, which is from above, is the mother of us all. We're not under a covenant where it just includes the Jewish people. They were, Paul gives a mysterious writing about that in Romans, the 11th chapter, when he said, I don't want you to be ignorant of this. He's talking about the Gentiles being grafted in, being a wild olive branch. I'm telling you today, I'm thankful for that. That God made a way. If Jesus hadn't come, if he hadn't accomplished what he accomplished, there would have been no hope for me. Thank God today there's hope. I have a hope. I have faith today, and my faith is the substance of what I'm hoping for. And that is life, righteousness. I'll tell you, there's something I'm wanting really more than just life. Because I'm finding out you can be alive and not be happy. And I'm interested in righteousness. I the more I know him, the more I want to be like him. The more I desire to understand this upright, all-knowing, all-righteous God. And I still am experiencing somewhat this warfare that's going on in my being, like Paul mentioned in the 7th chapter of the book of Romans. He said, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? There's a God in heaven that if we can receive the fullness of what he wants us to have, it's going to deliver us from the corruption of the flesh and transform us over into his glory. That's working right now in your life if you're serving him. You'd have to admit that. Surely you'd have to say, I'm not who I used to be. If you're serving God, there's been a change in your life. It may not have changed as much as you'd like to, but if you'll keep serving him. And Brother Marshall said, we're still learning how to lean. We're still learning how to yield. You know, when you're leaning on something, you're expecting it to hold you. Hold me up. Help me. And we have to learn how to yield to him and let him take his place in our lives and hold us up in the areas that we're not able. We don't have nothing within ourselves that'll make us righteous. But his transforming power. Elijah, when he was up on Mount Horeb, you know, he had just killed 850 prophets, 400 prophets of Baal, 450 prophets of Asherah on Mount Carmel, and then Jezebel was after him to kill him, and he was running for his life, even though he laid down under a juniper tree and found a place he could sleep. You know, when you're, you know, saints, we are a benefactors of great men of God that's went before us and served him and lived a faithful life to make it possible for where you and I are today. That type of Elijah represents the reformers that went before us, that brought and were bringing restoration to this Gentile church. And they found rest in the Word of God. That's what that juniper tree represents. It's an evergreen tree. Like Brother Marshall said, he felt like an ever-ready, like the ever-ready bunny. He said the battery, but there is a bunny. You know, it just keeps on going. That's how, you know, the Word of God will just, it'll keep you going. You can find rest for your soul. Elijah laid down under that tree and he found rest. That's a picture of those reformers finding rest in the Word of God, even though they were this religious wind. You know, I don't know. Some people won't like me saying this, but I'm going to say it anyway, because the truth needs to be told. The Catholic Church tried to destroy everything that, and it wasn't because they were evil. It was because they didn't understand what God was doing. You know, when men like Martin Luther, John and Charles Wesley marched out, Martin Luther had a message. The just shall live by faith. You can't just, this ain't a ritual. This is not something a man can give you. You can't buy your way in it or out of it. But if you have faith in Jesus, and his life has touched your life, hallelujah, then you can be saved. But it takes faith. I'm telling you, that just that little message set this world on fire a few hundred years ago. And those men, their life was at stake to preach it. But they found rest in God, in the Word of God. Remember the angel woke him up and said, here's your little cake. Here's your little cruise of water. You know, God's always had enough of the Word of God, enough of the manna, the bread of heaven. Jesus said, I am the bread that cometh down from heaven. He that eateth of me shall live and never die. He's always provided enough for his people. And a little drink of water. There's been enough of the Spirit of God that's kept the life of God working while he's restoring the church. You see, when God finished the harvest in the end of the Jewish world, you have to understand what happened. You have to understand why we're here. For you to have a vision today, you've got to have some understanding about where we're at, what God is doing. We're in the year of 2012. The day of Pentecost was around AD 33, AD 33 and a half. We're about 21 years off, 21 and a half years off of 2,000 year world consummating. And if God judged the antediluvian world in 2,000 years, and he judged the Jewish world in 2,000 years, and if the Gentile world is going to be judged in 2,000 years, then why would you think God would need to do anything different? And that's 6,000 years, and if 1,000 years with the Lord is as a day, and a day is 1,000 years, that's 6 days. Then there's a millennium, a seventh day, the day of God's rest when he's going to finish his work. And people can enter into the rest of God and cease from their own labors and cease from sin. So, I think we're living in a critical time in the end of the Gentile world. But you have to realize that while God was finishing that harvest back there, there was a planting by the Apostle Paul among the Gentiles. You got to remember, God was dealing with Israel for 2,000 years. That's why they were ready for harvest. But notice the Gentiles the Gentile world wasn't ready for harvest. It was going to take 2,000 years. Paul wrote the church in Thessalonica in the second chapter, and he said, this is not going to happen except there be a falling away first. Most preachers try to put that falling away down here. I'm just the opposite. The falling away took place back there. The church, that New Testament church, fell away when it was given to the Gentiles, and they embraced it on such a primitive level. But we're moving to a restored church in a time of harvest and a fullness of God to be manifested in this world. I can't hardly see God judging this world without a manifestation that fully manifests Him. I want to see a fullness of God like we're seeing. Anybody that reads the New Testament, if you can read this New Testament and not see that something's missing, something is, they had something back there that we're lacking. I see enough scripture in here to tell you that it's coming. It's still coming. The greatest move of God the Gentile world's ever seen is still on its way. And, you know, when the Gentiles began to receive this, they were heathens. They had no knowledge of our history. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They had no experience with Him. They had no touch of God. They were not in a covenant with Him. And so when they started receiving this message, it was hitting blank minds. But they were embracing it because God was touching them. The anointing of God was touching them and causing faith. But when the whole world began to embrace this, can you imagine all the ideology that went on in people's minds? I mean, even you. Let's just take you, Sister Ruthie. You've got something in your mind about, you know, how you've put together your idea about God. And that's based upon the knowledge that you've received. You see, you're fitting a puzzle together in your mind. Now see, the Jews, God had worked with them for 2,000 years. They had a pretty good understanding about this God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and His law. And I think they understood something about His righteousness. But there was just a remnant that really got the understanding of what Jesus Christ came to do and what He did. He fulfilled all righteousness, and He made a way. When He told His disciples, He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. When He said, in My Father's house are many mansions. I wish the interpreters would have interpreted that a little bit differently. I wish they'd have said, in My Father's house are many abodes. You know, people still look at things like, you know, there's a lot of people want to go to heaven because they want a mansion. They want to get that mansion, Brother Paul. They want to walk on streets of gold. I don't think they'll be disappointed, because if that's what they're wanting to go for, I don't think they're going to make it. I'm not really looking for... It doesn't say streets anyway. It just says street. It's just a one way. It's the way of God, and it's a golden way. It's as pure as gold. It's like gold. The Bible likens wisdom unto gold and understanding unto silver. This way, it's a rich way. But it's not natural riches that's going to help you and I. But it's this righteousness. The righteousness that was in God that He put in Christ. He was transformed. He was changed when He came here and took not on Himself the nature of angels, but He took on Him the seed of Abraham. And He went through a transforming process. He said, baptism, he said, that I must be baptized with. And he said, if not, how am I going to be straightened? You know, somehow we read past scriptures like that. I think that's in Luke 12:49-52, right in there, where he talked about he came to send a fire on the earth. There's a purifying process. God's putting us through. And that's this seal, where he's going to seal you and I with his name in our foreheads. You got to be still. You got to be faithful. You got to keep yielding. For God to write his name in your forehead, that's in your thinking. That's in your understanding. You're going to have to be still and let God write that. He said that. Jeremiah said that. He said, this is the covenant that I'll make with them in those days. I'll write my law in their minds and I'll put it in their hearts. Paul, let me show you something in Hebrews. The 8th chapter of Hebrews. He's quoting from Jeremiah 31:31 there in the 10th verse. He said, for this is the covenant that I'll make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my laws in their mind, and I'll write them in their hearts. I'll be to them a God, and they'll be to me a people. Notice what he said there. I'm going to put my law in their mind, and I'm going to write it in their heart. Now look in the 10th chapter. He quotes it again. Look how he turns it around. In the 16th verse, he said, this is the covenant that I'll make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my laws in their hearts. He just turns it around. And in their minds, I'll write them. I think Paul wrote that on purpose. He just wanted you to know your heart and your mind is going to have to be one and the same. God, for this, the righteousness of God to be written by the finger of the hand of God, which is his ministry, with the anointed word of God to get so much in your mind that it becomes a part of your character. It's in your heart. You know, you have to keep a law when it's a law. But you don't have to keep it anymore when it becomes your character. You just do righteousness because you become righteous. That's how. That's a beautiful little picture in the book of Ruth, where the near kinsman. Remember, Boaz told Ruth. He said, "I'm not the near kinsman to you. There's one that's nearer to you than I am." And he'll have to yield his right to you before I can take you as my wife. There was a law in Israel that if a man died, his wife was to be taken by his brother. And he was to raise children in his brother's name so that the inheritance of that brother wouldn't be lost in Israel. And if there wasn't a brother, then the one nearest kinsman. And it went right down the line to who was the nearest kinsman. Boaz knew he wasn't the nearest kinsman. And they had a ritual that they went through where you would meet the elders in the gate of the city, and you would do your business in front of the elders where there would be witnesses. And when a deal was made, the man that made the deal pulled off his shoe and handed it to the other one, and that sealed the deal. And so Boaz told her, said, you stay here while I go talk to the near kinsman. Did you know Jesus? The kinsman is a redeemer. Jesus was your redeemer. He is your redeemer, but there is a nearer kinsman than Jesus to you that has a greater right to you than Jesus does. And it's the But if there's been a work of God take place in your life where there is no law, therefore there is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. If you reach this overcoming state, blessed is he that overcometh. For I'll give him a little white stone wherein is written a new name that no one can know save he that receives it. I can tell you the name is Jesus, but you still can't know that name. You can't really understand that name until you really become a part of Christ. You got to fully get in him, and he's got to fully get in you. And you get a little stone. There's a temple of God that's been built by, precious stones, white, righteous stones. But that nearer kinsman was represented the law of God. You know, God can work a work in you where there's sin's not working in your members. And when Boaz went to the near kinsman, he said, "You're the near kinsman now. Do you want this girl? Do you want this, the inheritance of Mahlon, which was Elimelech's son, which was the husband of Ruth?" And he said, "Yes, I'll take it." And he said, "All right, but remember, you have to take the wife, the Moabitish woman, Ruth." He said, "Oh, wait a minute. I can't do that." He said, "If I do that, I'll lose my inheritance." Doesn't go into a lot of detail as to why the nearer kinsman thought he would lose his inheritance. But the picture is that's a picture of the law of God. And if the law of God said, "I'll marry an overcomer. I'll marry this one that has no sin, no guile. God's worked his work in their life. They've been transformed. They're overcomers." Then the law, if the law joins itself to that, there is no law. Where there's no sin, there's no law. And when God works that work in your life, the nearer kinsman would cease to exist. He'd lose his place. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus is a redeemer. When he worked it out and found out, he has to yield if there's something in your life that, that there's sin that's working in your being. But if you've been in the transforming power of God, where Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you might be also." Not where he was going. Listen to me. He wasn't going to fix up nothing in heaven. Heaven don't need fixed up. He was going to make a covenant. His blood was being shed to redeem you and I. He was coming back on the day of Pentecost to make it possible that you and I could be born of the same spirit of his Father that he was born of, so that you could have the same place in God that he had. Look in Romans 8:29. It says, "Therefore, those whom he did predestinate, them he did also call, and whom he called, he glorified." Let's read it, because I'm getting ahead of myself. "For whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." See, Jesus, he wanted you to have what he had. He came here to give that to you. He said, "I came to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly." Hallelujah. So today, you and I are, this is a rich place. This is a blessed place. We're blessed among women today. Yes, I'm talking about you know, this religious world, that God would choose us to manifest His Son to this world. God, help us qualify for that. Oh, hallelujah. I feel blessed today that God has, He laid His hand on me. We sing that song. So glad He laid His hand on me. And look, this is God's work. It's not a work of man. You know, what I'm talking about is impossible. It's absolutely impossible. But you're serving an impossible God. It's impossible for God to take, you know, your nature and transform it. That's why you must be born again. You're going to have a new nature. Paul called it the new man, the inner man. But there's a transforming process. I still like the way I've been putting that out, that the mind, your mind is the vehicle of the Holy Ghost. You can have the Holy Ghost, but if it doesn't have your mind, it cannot function. Just like your old nature, Adam, it has your mind, and that's why it functions. The vehicle of the old man's nature functions because it's got a mind that lines up with it. But when you're transformed by the renewing of your mind, when you start, your mind gets transformed. That's why He said, this is the new covenant. I'm gonna put in your mind My law. You're going to think like God's law. It's going to get in your heart. I'm asking God for more of that. That's not a finished work in me yet. But I'm asking God for it. You say, well, I don't know, Brother Smith. Well, I do. Let me know for you. That's what the resurrection's for. If God don't finish this work before you die, then you're going to get a resurrection. He's going to finish it before He's done. There's a judgment seat. God's going to work in every one of our lives. Oh, hallelujah. What a Savior. To think that He had called me and you for this kind of work. I'm happy about that today. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. He worked that work in the New Testament. When He harvested that world, there was promises. Overcomers. And it's not a work you can do, by the way. You can't make yourself an overcomer or perfect. All you can do is yield. Like what you said, Brother Marshall, we're still learning. We haven't got this yet, but it's coming. Yes, the watchman is going to see eye to eye, and there's a unity that's coming to God's people that's going to make them one. One bread, one people, hallelujah. One Lord, one God, one Spirit, one faith, hallelujah. Praise God. Somebody sing me a song, get me down from here. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Forward, Lord. Oh, touch my eyes, Lord, that I might see, Lord, the wonders of your love. Oh, touch my ears, Lord, that I might hear, Lord. Oh, the voice of the one I love. Come in my heart, Lord, that I might feel, Lord.
Stand up,
rest the peace and the joy I need. Oh, keep me on my knees in a humble plea for a closer walk with Thee. Oh, touch my eyes, Lord, that I might see, Lord. Wonders of your love.
right. Evening service at 5 o'clock and band practice at 4 o'clock. 3 o'clock choir practice. So, yes. Next weekend is potluck dinner. So, if you never ate potluck dinner at First Gospel Church, you've never ate a potluck. Yes. B band 3 o'clock. And then church Wednesday night. No church Wednesday night. Thanksgiving. I'm giving all the sisters off. If you brothers want to come, you can. But I want the sisters off because I want them to cook some of that good Thanksgiving dinner. And who knows? They might even want to make me a pie or something. I like cherry, apple, pecan, coconut cream, rhubarb, raisin, lemon cream, pumpkin, peanut butter, and sweet potato pie. Please don't leave out the sweet potato pie. God bless you. Shake hands and be friendly.